I would like to begin in honor of Alderman Ettore here to say a very short aloha. One of the takonas that Ezra made was that we should read the Tochach of Hukosa before Shavuos and the Tochach of Kisovo before Rosh Hashanah. And that is to awaken us to the obligations and the responsibilities of Torah. I know that we have a very strange minhag that many B'nai Torah object to, but it's been the minhag of our ancestors, that the whole Tochach is read completely without a brach. In other words, we read until Kol Mimius, and you make up the final bracha. The Tochach is read completely without a bracha, and then following Parsha is read with a bracha. And there have been many criticisms of that, and probably appropriate criticisms. How do you read the Parsha of the Torah without a bracha? And even though people who are greater than I am, or learned than I am, have criticized this minute, I feel that I would like to offer some kind of a defense. And I think I would say it very simply. I think the idea is in the Tshuva Tzemach Tzedek about Herzog. And the idea is as follows. In the beginning, Ahachamim made a takon. When you read the Torah, the first Olam made the first bracha, then no one in between made a bracha. The final Olam made the final bracha. So there was a bracha before the Kriya and a bracha after the Kriya. Then Ahachamim decided that because people began walking in and out of shul during Kriya Satorah, that they would make a takana that every parsha would have a bracha. So when someone comes in, he will see that a bracha is made on the Torah, and when someone goes out, he will realize that a final bracha is made on the Torah. Now the question comes up as follows. When this takana was made, what did this takana say? Did this takana say that the first bracha and the last bracha are not any more brachas on the whole Kriya? Every Ola has to make a bracha on his parsha. It's now cut up into pieces. Every part of the Torah has to have its separate bracha. Or is it possible that the original takana didn't change? That the first Ola still makes the first bracha. The final Ola still makes the final bracha. The brachas in between are merely at the takonim mipnei hanechnosim v'hayotzim. They do not interrupt the first and the last bracha. These are the two possibilities. Now, if the first possibility is right, if the first sound is right, then we are reading the parsha of the Tochach without a bracha, because the final bracha was made before it, and this parsha is without a bracha. If, however, we will say that the original takonim still is intact, that the first Ola made the bracha, that goes for the whole Seder. And the final Ola makes the bracha, that goes for the whole Seder. And the individual brachas in between were only Nechnosu V'ayosin, then you should say that for the Tochach, the Chachamim did not make an extra bracha, because our Tochach is with their Chach. That we shouldn't make a bracha on clothes. I imagine that this is the difference that divides us. And therefore I imagine that the minhag that we have comes from the idea that the first Ola and the final Ola are still making the brachas, therefore every parsha that is read is still with the bracha. On this side, we talk about brachas on Torah. And I think that the brachas on Torah that you heard here tonight from Rabbi Levitansky, Rabbi Wolf, and Yosef Singer were indeed uplifting to us, because they told us that Torah is alive and well and functioning. The fact that you are all here proves that Torah is alive. I think that in the language of the public, this yeshiva is called a Baal Tshuva yeshiva. I don't like the label, because I don't like any label. If it is meant to put somebody down, it is wrong. If it is meant to be worn as a badge, it is wrong. There are some people who say that we are all Baal Tshuva. But in terms of people coming to Jerusalem, I would like to tell you something that one of my ancestors once said. The Rebbe Zushin Anatol had a mechiah. Someone who told him Muslim. And he said to him, one day he came in and said, Zisha, teach Shiva, do Shiva. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. He says, Shiva means someone was good. Then he became bad. You tell him do Shiva, means become good again. He said, if someone was bad and became a little better, you tell him to return, Hashem show him, you tell him to return to what he was before. So the Mashiach was dumbstruck, he didn't have what to say. He said, I'll tell you what Shuva is. Teshuva is as follows. The top is Tomin Tiyim Hashem Elekev. You should be wholehearted with Hashem. The Shin is Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Somit. You should always keep Hashem before our heart. The Vav is V'Ahavta La'acha Kamocha. You should love your friend like yourself. The Beis is the Cholvach HaDe'ehu, that we should know Hashem in all our ways. And the Hay is Hasna Lecha, be humble with God. He says, that's true. Now, I would like to turn this around a little bit, Rabbi Yisrael. I feel that I speak for that community that comes late in life to Hashem, because I feel I belong to that community, I'm part of it. Because every day, like Rav Sadia said, I recognize how little I did yesterday. And instead of turning these words to the Baal Teshuvas, I would like to direct that this is what the Baal Teshuvas say to us. And if I consider myself a Baal Teshuva, I think that's what I'm saying too. And I want you to take it in the spirit that it is given, not as a criticism, not as a putting anything down, but realizing that we live in a world of change and that we have to rise to meet those changes. The Abdullah Talmud said, Yisrael shel Adam is chadesh olam v'chol yom. The Yetzirah says comes out with new ideas every day. He says we need chidush Torah to counteract the chidushim of the Yetzirah. We need techniques that will meet the problems of today. The idea of Tomim Tiyim Hashem Elokecha is the idea that we have to be complete people. Ganz Mensch. And I imagine that many of us see ourselves as complete people. I'd like to tell you a story that my father told me. We were once walking down the streets in Milwaukee. And my father said to me, I saw in a safe that the Ikkis in the Mashiach, in the final days before the Mashiach, he said people will have lived so high. People will have lived very big. He says, and then a time will come when the financial situation will be critical. And all of these big life plans will begin to become painful. He said, I'm very frightened of that time. I don't know what my father was frightened of. I think he was afraid just of the human suffering that will happen. But I'm afraid of something else. I'm afraid that all of us, regardless of who we are, regardless of how much we went to yeshivas and how much we learned Torah and how much we didn't, I think we all have a problem. That our self-esteem, our self-image, the way we saw ourselves, was by how successful we became in the world of finance. And I am terribly frightened of the terrible personality crunch, the depression, the self-deprecation that might come, God forbid, in the next several months, as it seems that a serious recession is upon us. It reminds me of the story of the fellow who was a very wealthy Jew in the community. And Rahmana Litzulam became a Yehud. And he said, I don't understand. He said, when I had money, He said, I was the wisest man in the community. Everybody came to me for advice. And everybody prayed what a big Talmud Chacham I was. He said, suddenly, Chasvishon, he said, I lost my money. He said, so my money is lost. He says, where's my Torah and where's my Chacham? What happened to that? Somebody said, we have to understand that we're living in an American community, in a community in which our personalities are built by dollars and cents. We are like that. Regardless of what we want to say, we consider our success by the money we have, by institutions we build, by the organizations we have. What will happen, Chas v'Shalom, in the next several months, when all of this will begin to shake? What will happen to our self-image? And I imagine that the Baal Teshuva will tell you that this is nothing new. We've known that for a long time. Because the young people that I saw coming to Torah were young people from wealthy homes, young people from very affluent backgrounds. And they began to realize what we're going to have to realize. That there is something else that has to be more important. Now, theoretically, we all understand that our goals are Torah. But I've always said many times, sure, our goals are Torah. We have a goal, we want a nice home. We have a goal, we want a nice car. We want a nice family. We want to have money in the bank. We also have a goal that we want to be observant Jews. But I challenge each of us to look into our hearts to say, is Torah the overwhelming goal for which we all strive? I question that. And now in this time in history is going to become critical to our existence. Because only with the goal of Torah will we have survival. Not only in terms of a people, but as individuals. Our life must become more inner life, more preoccupied with the real essence of living. And the Baal Teshuva call out to us, the world that we have lived in, the world that we have built, the home, the comfort, the furniture. We left all that for Torah. It doesn't interest us. It doesn't satisfy us. And therefore, in a sense, it is telling us not to be afraid. So we can only not be afraid if Torah becomes our goal in a real sense. Now, I don't like to talk philosophy. I like to put it down in real life. As I say again, these opinions are mine. I think that if a yeshiva of this kind should not be merely a yeshiva, it has to be a community project. And you should be part of it not only financially. That is not enough. Someone here was praised for opening up their home. We all have to open up our homes to these people. We have to bring them into our homes so we can teach them what we know of Jewish, but also that they should teach us their experience on coming to Jewish, so that we can re-energize ourselves, so that we can refurbish ourselves. I don't believe that we really feel that Jewishness is successful. That it is really a mechanism for meeting modern life. And these young people show it to us every day. Let these young people see that Jews learn Torah. Take one of these people and make a chavrusa with them. You have a little bit of Torah that you have that nobody else has. Pass it on. We don't all have to be students. We can be students and teachers at the same time. Open up your homes, open up your hearts, walk in and meet the Torah and make this a community institution. It has all the potential. Be part of it. The one thing that it will help is that you will feel you are doing something. You will have the sense of accomplishing. You will have invested in somebody, not only with your money, but with your mind, with your heart, and with your gut. And I think it's important. And therefore, as one great man said, Tomim Tiyas, that the only time that you can be complete is in Avaya Lekeva.
So when the Shem Havayah rests in everybody's heart, when the Gilui HaTorah is such that is revealed in Elokecha, in the power that we live by day, Elokecha means that he is your strength. We have to make Torah our real strength by acting it out, finding goal in Torah. And we'll talk about it yet later on, what these goals mean in terms of other parts of our lives. And then I have a word to say to the worthy rabbis here, and I ask everybody to indulge with me. Shivishi Hashem Lenegdisam. We all know what the Shulchan Aruch says that it means, that we always have to keep the name of Hashem in front of our eyes. But let me tell you, that besides the fact that in our days in Torah Vadas, that you mentioned before, besides learning Gemara and Musa and Tanakh, the Pagel Mendel of Inshallah Hashem had shiurim in Der Hashem and in Tanya. I don't want to speak from the point of view of a chosid or a misnagid because I don't feel I deserve to be either one of them. But I think that we have to realize that Torah is a way of seeking Hashem. We speak about Torah, but Hayesh Maskil Dorosh HaZelukim. Are we seeking Hashem? We do not provide the proper program that a Jew should know what the Jewish view of Hashem is about. And the Baal Teshuva tell it to us every day. Because they are hit by all kinds of ideas. They are hit by the Jesus freak. They are hit by Hare Krishna. They are hit by Eastern religion. And they sound very beautiful. And they come to us, this is what we heard. What do you have to say? What do you have to say that is different? What do you have to say that is unique? And the answer has to come that in yeshivas and in Mekomas HaTorah, it will not be enough that we teach only halacha. Although without halacha we are nothing. Without Gemara we are zero. But we have to be able to pull it all together that people should realize that the Jewish concept of Hashem is different. But when I had the experience of a youngster who went to college and she was asked to write down the attributes of God, whether he was merciful or cruel, just or unjust, and she put down all the nice things. And my daughter came to me and said, Dad, this is what I wrote. I said, Tochter, that's wrong. God doesn't have any attributes. We know nothing about Hashem. We only know what he does. We don't know what he is. And when I saw that in my own family, this had to be said, I realized that we just don't realize what our hatsukas are. We need to know who we are. We need to know what Jewishness is different. When someone says that God is love, we have to say that's idolatry. And what form? And what reason? And the only reason is Mutzafa says, because you say God is anything, it's limiting God and God is infinite. And when the Eastern religions come and tell us that God is the world soul, and they say, isn't that what you say, that your neshama is a chelik of the karmimal, a part of God? And I have to say, God has no part. Our neshama is a chelik of Shem Hashem, not of Hashem. And that means that we are part of God's actions, not of God. God has no part. Maybe difficult ideas. But we've got to say these. We've got to begin making sure that our young people know. And if you would ask me why in yeshivas in Europe there weren't taught, it's very simple. The environment was so strongly Jewish that it was absorbed by osmosis. The yeshiva had these ideas soaked into its fabric. Everybody knew. Now we have no environment. Our homes don't teach that anymore. We are not aware of these things. We live in a very concrete, idolatrous community. With goyish thinking. I once said a very shrekler hazard. I said that most young people have their concept of Jewishness from Christianity. What are we doing about it? Are we cleaning it out? Do we realize what they are thinking?
We have to be able to think of Hashem in a way in which it will be our God, the Jewish God. And then we come to that idea of a Hatzalah HaKamoha. I apologize ahead of time for what I'm going to say. But there are several things. The word love has been maligned in our language. I don't think we know what it means. I think most of us, when we speak of love, we are speaking of need. And for the very few of you, or many of you, who have had an idea of the Hasidic vocabulary, a human being is divided into Chochma Bina Das, the intellect, Chesed Gvura Teferes, which is essentially the emotion, and Netzach Hod Yisod, which presumably are the decisive parts of the person, the action of the person. And I humbly said that Netzach Hod Yisod represents the appetite personality. Now, the interesting thing in Chassidus is that each one of these has all of them. And the terrible thing that I felt, and I hope that I'm wrong, is that we don't love, we don't fear, we don't have compassion. We are part of our appetite personality. And our emotions and our intellect are only valid insofar as they serve our appetite. In order to love, it means that I have to see somebody else. In order to see somebody else, it means I have to be able not to see me. And if we are constantly seeing me, we cannot love. And we are the me generation. We are a generation that has learned that our needs are very important. How do you learn to love? Really, I don't know. But I remember the words of Hillel, when the Gemara had come to Shammai and he said, I want to learn the Torah on one foot. And Shammai drove him out. And then he came to Hillel and he said, now the Lachosan and Lachava for itself. What you hate to ask, why didn't Hillel tell him as it is written in the Torah? Why did he say to him, don't hate? And my answer was always, that for Hillel to say what was written in the Torah, for that you don't need a Manik Yisrael. Everybody can read what's written in the Torah. The question is, how do you do it? And the answer was Hillel, that Hillel gave, was before you learn how to love, learn how not to hate. Abayisai, we have created a society and a culture that is built on competition, that is built on kinnis, and the result is that it's built on sin. And we don't participate. And I've heard kinnah sofrim tava chochma. I was also there. That the jealousy among sofrim increases knowledge. And I ask you to look at the mashal there in Bava Basra Chavala Pomedbez, Medalef, in which he says that that's for sofrim. He says that's for davnik in the lamdim. He said not for chachamim. Wise people don't need kinnah. A real Talmud doesn't need jealousy. I want to tell you something even sharper than that, Marshal. The Tzaddik HaKohen says in Parshas Poro, he says there are three dagas of Tumah. There's Tzoruah, and Zav, and Tumah Lanef. Tzoruah is what we call a leper, and Zav is probably what we think is some venereal disease. Tumah Lanef is one who was next to a dead body. He says, so who I sent out of all the machans, out of all camps? Azam only out of two camps, and the Tumimet only out of one camp. He says, why? He says, because these three represent Hakina, Hatayva, and Hakub. He says that Tzoruah is one who says Lashon Hara, one who gossips, one who maligns his fellow man. He says, that has to come out of jealousy. Zam, which is a sexual disease, comes from Taiva. He said somehow that COVID has to do with Tumas Mes because it's Itir Shel Nachash, is that the Nachash wanted to make other magicians proud for Yisim Keloim,
He says, that is cause. He says, the reason, he says, that I'm absorbing atom and nefesh, I'm not sent out from all machnos. He says, because tithes and covet have a place in Torah. Like I have desire for physical things, I can turn that desire into spiritual things. Like I glorify myself with pride of my ego, I can glorify myself with the pride of Hashem, the equilibrium without Hashem. He says, kinnis, he says, absorb and send out from all three machnos, because there's no part of Torah for jealousy. And yet, in our culture, that's the only way we teach. That's how we were raised. That's how we live. How can we learn how to love when we are mitzvah? When everybody's our competitor? When everybody's in the same business that I am as my competitor? And it reminds me what the Mitzvah Rebbe said. He went in once into the smithers and he saw some chassidim sitting very depressed. He said, Atzabeyan. He says, their atzmas, their depression, comes from kesef v'zov, which is from gold and silver. He says, why are they depressed? Because masi is the yodim, that he can take it themselves. And then shechalei. Rabbosai, there's something very basic in our structure that we have to overcome. I want to tell you that the Baal Teshuva community is very resistant to competition. I have made every attempt in the world that my boys should not, or the girls should compete with each other. We have to make an individual realize that he does not have to be better than anybody else. He has to do the utmost. I have to do the best that I can do. We have to change our whole teaching, our whole approach, that people will learn to learn with love. I hope it's not too rebellious, but I think it's important. But at least we have to realize that we cannot personalize our competition. We have to be able to raise ourselves above it. And therefore I ask of you to fulfill with me Baal Teshuva, the Haftarah of Kabbalah. And I'll tell you, I mean that in two ways. Do you know why cults are successful? I'll give you one reason that is very important. Because they have instant acceptance. The minute the young person comes in, he is already accepted. There are very little expectations made of him. In other words, you can have demands on a person, but that should not determine whether you love him or not. Now, I know that in an institution that's very difficult, because you feel if you love someone who isn't fully observant, it's as if you were condescending, but they may be right. We have to find a way to change that. We need a place where young people will have instant acceptance. The minute they come in, you are our brother. You are one of us. And no yeshiva by itself is going to do it without the community helping. We have to begin having a feeling for these people. And I thought today when I was thinking about the Haftarah HaKamnosah that you should love your friend as yourself, and that's a very difficult thing. I felt that part of it means you see yourself as an individual. You don't see yourself as part of a crowd. Love your friend just the same way. Don't see him or her as part of a crowd. We have to learn to relate to people as individuals. Rabbi said, the accusation that I make against our culture is that we were all raised in classrooms and we have learned how to be good classmates, but we have not learned how to relate to people on a one-to-one basis. And we have to find a way that this is be done. Another problem with the Baal Teshuva community that is saying to us, they're saying to their parents, I feel very guilty about this. I feel very guilty because I feel that I'm in a position that I should have done something about it together with others. We have not given the American businessman a business morality. And therefore we've created a schizophrenia. There is a business person, and when he comes home, he's a Jewish person. He does not take his Jewishness into his business simply because he doesn't know how. And he doesn't know how because he's afraid that if he were to take his morality into the business world, he will be put out of business. Now, if we haven't been able to give the American businessman a business morality, it is the fault of us leaders.
But it is also partially the responsibility of the business community. It reminds me the story of a wolf who was leading a shtetl. And the Rosh HaKor came by and says, "Rabbi, you're leaving us?" He says, "Yes." He says, "Why?" He says, "Because this is the first shot I had in this town."
How can we apply Torah to business when you don't come and ask? When you do what you like, when you do what you think you should. If you were to bring us our shine, your shines, we would have a chance. We would say, this is Jewish and this isn't Jewish. And isn't it true that our Chachamim understood the business world? People say that a Heter Isk is a legal evasion. It isn't a legal evasion. There's no legal evasions in Torah. Heter Isk was an understanding that the role of money had changed in the society. That instead of being an agricultural community where money was not a commodity, money suddenly became a commodity. If we were to ask the Torah honest questions, the Torah would give us honest answers. If you want us to help, and I don't say myself, anybody whom you respect, put it on the line. Tell us what you are doing. But it's very important that we realize that the split personality that we have is destroying us. And I once had a group of youngsters that I was teaching. Now one evening I said to them, "Kids, let's throw off the wrap. What do you think of your parents?" "That our parents are hypocrites." "What do you mean?" "They don't live like they talk. They say one thing and do another thing." I said, "Kinder, stop for a moment. Hypocrisy means that when you do something, you don't mean what you are doing. Inconsistency means that you sometimes don't do everything according to the way you think. Now, what are your parents? Hypocrites or inconsistent?" Well, they came down, they said they were inconsistent. Now, boys, this generation will not stand for this inconsistency anymore. If we are to bring Jewishness to a generation of Americans, we're going to have to be integral businessmen, that even in the world of business, we will have the respect of everybody. We cannot make shenanigans anymore. It will destroy us. I don't know what kind of rationale we once had in Europe. It was anti-Semitic. I don't know. I don't want to know. I know that things have to change. I think we have to realize that in order for Jewishness to work, we have to show that it works. And I want to tell you that I've always said that I have no problem with this generation. None whatsoever. They're not interested in scientific philosophies. They're not interested in ideologies. They want to know only one thing. Show us that it works. Show us that Torah makes better people. Show us that Torah Jews are more integral businessmen. Show us that Torah Jews know how to relate to each other, that there is unity, that they can love each other, that they can overlook the differences. Show us! The Chaldor Chachodayim. We have to be able to show Torah in every walk of life. Hafnalah is the final thing, perhaps the most difficult. We find it very difficult to be humble. We find it very difficult to be modest. We find it very difficult to be proud. And I know that in this community it probably is not an issue. I hope. You know that there is a problem with women's lives. Women are coming out into the world. They are leaving their home and going out in the business world. On both sides, we will never bring the women back into the private life. Not until the men come back will the women come back. On both sides, we have to begin to make our home the central place for our Jewishness. And as much as I love everybody's dedication, and as much as I respect everybody's
Before in this Torah,
we're going to have to show that our homes are the central area where we live. Yeshivas to teach Torah. But what needs to be in preparation for Torah, the homes have to do. We have to participate in the Torah structure. But more than all, if we're going to keep our family units intact,
if there's going to be privacy, we have to make sure that this private sector is important. You know, a goy.
Maybe it's not a goy. Alvin Toffler wrote in the book, The Third Way.
And he says in that book that we expect women to keep the home fires burning without giving them the respect and the honor and the status that it deserves.
It's very interesting. I don't know, maybe you don't watch television. But I saw that in a divorce court, a man was being sued for $42,000 a year of the work that his wife did at home. She saved him the money she saved him because she was a nurse and she was a housekeeper and she was the financial administrator. In the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim fought over what they were doing. They fought so hard that we had to make a pious, a girl, for a lot. Everyone wanted to do it. What were they doing in the Beis HaMikdash?
One big giant kitchen. They were slaughtering animals, they were skinning them, they were eviscerating them, and they were cooking them. And it was a yichud.
Aren't our homes the Beis HaMikdash?
Shouldn't the women in our homes be respected like Kohanim? The real factors.
The problem is that it will not happen by talking. Let me tell you something that I don't know that women are so aware of, but I think that men should be aware of.
Let us assume that it's the women's position, a part of their position, to give us courage, to give us strength, because they are protected from the financial world. They can give us the lift that we need. But just imagine, you're coming home from a bad day at the office, and your wife tries her best to lift your spirit, but you had such a bad day that you won't be lifted.
Now what is the woman going to think? She's a dishonor.
There is no position for her. She can't give us a lift because we won't be lifted. We won't be encouraged.
A friend once said to me, he was, you know, one of these poverty people, half Jewish, half Roman, half nothing. He said to me, if you Jews are really so taken up with your Torah, and you really think that you've got it made, said, why aren't there more smiles? Said, why are you all having such long faces? Why aren't you dancing in the streets? Besides, we are not demonstrating those inner emotions that Jews who really believe in Torah should.
And maybe it's because we don't keep our families together in such a way that we can support each other.
I would say that it is true that hafnaleches means humility, hafnaleches means modesty, but hafnaleches means privacy. We have to go back to a more private life. At least I hope that Migdal Torah will not be just another organization. We have enough organizations. In fact, we have so many problems, and the only answer we have, you got a problem? Make an organization. I was once told in my back in school days that in Chicago telephone book, there's a listing for the independent organization of unorganized independents. Falling over each other. It's time to decentralize. It's time to strengthen the individual. And believe me, it was said by a great man a long time ago when he was, there came a thing to the Reb Chaim, And they told him about Agudath Sushruta. He said, yes, it's an important thing. He said, but let me give you a motion. He said, at one time people learned, had candles in their homes. He says, now we have central electric. He says, it's true that central electric gives so much more light. He says, but the problem is this. He says, in the old times, when one house got dark, there was still light to the other house. Nowadays, when the central glows, says, the whole community goes dark. It's important. We have to have organizations. We live in an organized world. We live in a world that if we were not organized, if we didn't have yeshivas and organizations and agudath Yisrael to combat over-organization, we would be lost. But the Rambam said we have to have that other part of Jewishness, that unorganized part. And I once said in New York, I thought they would stone me, but they took it. I said, you Hasidim, and if there are any of you to that applies, there used to be such a thing as a shtibl, where a bocher, when he got through with learning in Cheder, went into this medrash and he learned. Now I'm sure that a yeshiva does a lot more. It gives you a derech, it helps you. But the problem is that when you learn in an organized way, everybody is taught the same thing. It's very hard to individualize. We need more individualization. We need everybody to be able to express themselves and join. Yeshivas are catching up because there's a shir yun in the morning and there's a shir for bikiyas in the afternoon. But a lot more has to be done. We have to go have a place in Torah where people will be able to express themselves according to their ability. I would hope that about Shuvah Yeshiva, as we call it, that comes from so many angles, that comes from so many different people, can come across with this terrible need. Let me not make any mistake. Without yeshivas, we are gone. We will have nothing. But besides yeshivas, we also have to have the unorganized Jews. The Jews are just together because they are together, not because they belong, because they are members. I would say, Rabbi Yitzchak, that this is what the Baal Teshuva community has to say to you. And I would say that you have a unique ability at this moment to take every community's fragment. We all have different. But we have to rise above these differences. And I think that within the framework of making this a community institution, not just simply an institution for Baal Teshuva, where you will give not only your money, but your time and your effort. As even Dr. Rucker does. I attended a class at Dr. Rucker's home where many young people found themselves to be at home. At Burnside, Dr. Rucker is really, and Mrs. Rucker, really like very unusual people. But believe me, you can do it. And we need you. Because each of us has a spark of Torah that nobody else in the world has. What you receive, you have an obligation to transmit. The next generation of Jews is waiting to show them an example of how Jewishness works in the business world. It's asking you to overcome your differences and be one. It's also asking you to show us by example what a Jew should be and open up your heart because there are people who need you very desperately.
This cassette tape has been provided by the Torah Foundation of Milwaukee. To sponsor a tape, or for more information regarding the purchase of tapes, please call 1-800-878-5000. The Torah Foundation of Milwaukee is a nonprofit institution dedicated to the dissemination of Torah knowledge.